All right, everybody, welcome to the 5G use case team meeting for February 27th, 2020. So, Vimal, did you have any things specifically you wanted to start us off with or any topic? Vimal, can you hear me?
Can you ask that question again?
I was just saying, are there any topics you want to specifically
discuss? Yeah, not just where are we with M4, that's one part.
Yes.
And are there any showstopper to complete M4?
Sure, that's pretty important. Okay. I guess I'll open the floor to anybody who wants to discuss anything for M4 first. Any showstoppers for M4 from anybody? It's coming next week, so.
So, Ben, the M4 basically code freezing, right? So it doesn't have any D1. Okay,
M4 so is code
freeze,
that's right.
The testing will be complete too?
No, so RC 0, 1, and 2 are the, so this is the release calendar for Frankfurt, so it's a good question. So after M4, which is March 5, then there's the three rounds of testing, basically, from that goes to March 26, April 9, and April 23. And we can see kind of what happens at RC 0, 1, and 2. So the release candidate zero phase is basically integration where these RC's drops are to ensure that the code is matching with, you know, end-to-end test results and focusing on integration and closing high priority defects and documenting what you need to document. So from the architecture and sort of system engineering standpoints, people should be looking at documenting what they need to document and then read the docs. That's probably the main thing that affects a lot of, because we have a lot of system engineers on my call, right? So that's probably the main thing that concerns a lot of the people here. And Dong Ho, for example, in doing the integration stuff, this is where he shines. So this is where the main stuff happens with integration, I think. Probably some work has already started, but the main thing is just that you, up to this point, is that the integration teams have documented what they're going to document. And then I think there's a target to try to automate as much as possible in test cases, because the actual integration team in the actual integration team, is pretty thin, I think, in ONAP itself. And so it depends a lot on the actual individual use case teams doing their own integration stuff. I'm not sure, maybe Daho or Vimal, you can say more about, I'm not too sure about what the difference between, I mean, why are there three release candidate drops? I am not so sure why there's three.
I don't know. It's just that don't expect everything to go smoothly for the first round, so that's why they have three.
Yeah, so maybe there's three rounds just to assess kind of where things are and where, you know, where people are with everything. And yeah, that's probably why they have multiple drops, so that they can play catch up and to track stuff at just to reference points, probably, right? So I don't know, Dong Ho, did you want to say something about that? You're probably the most familiar with the RC drop stuff than we are.
No, this is my first time to do
okay.
The
ONAP. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. So we've been through many, I've been through many releases of ONAP, but I don't know so much, because I'm not an integration, it's not as familiar to me as But RC0, let's see, let me at least note where we are here. So C0, so 26, then 23. So probably for us, this also means, you know, we need to start looking at the documentation. I did contact Sophia, and she did actually respond back to me and gave me a link of some of the documentation things that are being talked about and tracked. So I have responded back to her saying, gee, it'd be nice if you could just hop on our call for one time and just give us a little bit more insight, but she still hasn't
responded. So Ben, can you open that link? Because that's one of the questions that Dongwa has, because we are not sure that what we are documenting is
sure. Find, gotta rummage through my email here. Let me see. Okay, it's here. Okay, yeah. Okay, so is this referring to the name of it? Okay, so this is her email back to me. She wrote this. Are you referring to the MS-1 and preliminary documentation? So this is, I guess, some of the things that they do in the documentation team, tracking, I guess, kind of major, I don't know, sort of changes, I guess, for each of the projects. So, I'm not super familiar with, I don't know if other people are familiar with this, but go ahead.
So these documentations are for the projects. Is there a sample for the use case or I guess?
I don't think so. So I think we need to still touch base with her because she mostly works a lot with, you know, like PTLs and stuff. So I think we need to touch base with her, I feel, to get more clarity on what we need to do. Although the if you do look, the use case UI, if we go to, let me just go to the docs page here real quick. So if we go to the docs page under the, let me see, I think it's in VNF guidelines. Is it this? Wait, I have it in here. navigate to user guides and verified use cases. Here. Okay, so this is maybe what they're talking about here on this user use case UI stuff, maybe. So I don't know, maybe Vimal, if you want to also reach out to Sophia, she seems very, very slow.
So one thing
respond.
I'm thinking that A1 documentation, maybe we will talk to the STNC team to see maybe it should be under the STNC rather than as a separate document called A1 adapter. But I'll see if there's any need for the use cases to document.
Well, I think each use case has, we definitely need stuff in here, right? Because there's chapters in here related to all of the use cases. And at least, I think at a minimum, the use cases should have a page. So if you have a page already, like in other words, if you didn't start.
He has pretty good detail for A1 describing exactly how it works. But I just want to make sure that we cover everything.
Okay. Okay. All right. Any questions on that? I feel that probably if you have, you know, if you are doing stuff with a use case that started in U6, like maybe network slicing doesn't have a page, the harmonization use case doesn't have a page,
Hi, Ben.
Runtime config DB doesn't. Yeah.
Is there any template to draft read the docs?
Where it gets tricky. There is actually different groups do have sort of templates. I know, for example, the modeling team, because I work closely with the modeling team on various things. The modeling team, for example, they have a set of files that they actually use to, because they release after release, they're updating stuff. And they do have a set of files and procedures. I asked about it actually, and they said that they have a file that that they use, that they're able to basically take this file and manipulate it, and it's in the form that they need to. Maybe we can get some more help, if not from Sophia, my doc team, from the modeling team might be able to help us to look at some files. But I'm not so sure. Maybe there are templates we can use. I don't know, Vimal, if you are aware.
No, I'm not aware.
I saw that the use cases and the functional requirements listed here are all in different format.
Yeah. Use cases are listed in different formats. What do you mean?
I mean, there isn't a unified format to draft this, read the docs for the use cases and functional requirements.
Well, there is kind of actually a template for that. Yeah, I mean, there's every one of these pages has a sort of a description, and then a how to use, and then test plan status, known issues, and if you look at there are sort of somewhat standard things actually. Really, I'm not an expert on this page or anything, so it would be good, I think, if we were able to get some input from Sophia, probably.
Okay. I think maybe we should ask Sophia to get.
That would be good. Okay, because I'm also not too familiar with with some of this read the docs, how to edit the read the docs. I've done the VNF requirements, which I know does similar sorts of things, and there was a Garrett. And also the ONAP the ONAP modeling team also mentioned that they use some kind of Garrett tool too. So all right. Okay, let's see. So for actual M4, stuff, let's take a look and see what he's planning. The old thing here. I don't know, Vimal, do you know if there's a checklist for M4?
There was one, but I...
All we've got is just get your code done and make sure all your test cases are automated. That's about all I see. Okay. anyway, I think it's pretty simple. I mean, the what happens at M4 is just essentially get your code done. Let me write it in here though. Yeah, oh, here it is. Okay, so code freeze, Jira issues, test cases automated. I guess I really want all your test cases automated and integration testing started, I think. Okay, so again, we're spending some time on M4 because it's really right on us now. So I think really just maybe the main thing for, again, a lot of us who are sort of leading the use cases, the main thing is we probably want to look at the what we need to for documentation stuff. So let's take a look at that for a second here. So we've got so Joanne, I think we need to do something with the read the doc stuff. I think we should get our use case into, we should maybe try to set up something to see if we can get into the read the docs. Again, so there's a few 5G use cases that are missing. Margin Vimal's harmonization use case is missing. Joanne Nye's, the runtime config DB project stuff is not here. Network slicing. I guess we need network slicing as well, right? Yeah, network slicing, I think, is also right.
Yeah, network slicing is a work in progress.
Yeah, oh, okay. Cutting in and out, Boris Labor, it might be just me.
No, we could not hear most of it. Boris Labor?
I'm saying the linking, the leading functionality. And there is work in progress. And, some of the components for the use case already provided input for read the docs, and some are still.
You're still kind of cutting in and out, but I kind of heard you said some things are in progress, I think, is what you said. Okay. So let's see. So network slicing also needs a read the docs entry. Again, navigate to user guides and to verified use cases. So Joanne, maybe you, Marge, and I can meet for the runtime config DB project, and Vimal and Marge probably need to coordinate some work for the harmonization use case, I guess. And I have an item here for that. Let me read the docs entry here.
So the read the docs, is it to contain what is available or the vision?
So let me show it to you, Mark. So basically this is the sort of public read the docs page, basically, which is this is what's available to the outside world for ONAP's documentation purposes, right? And if you look, this is really, all the wiki work we do. Maybe this is the main sort of landing place where people expect to find out something about all their use cases. So it's pretty important, although I will say that it does point, usually it'll point back to your use case page too. So one of the links that you can have is a link back to your page. So it's very high level. It's just, here's a description and yeah, so.
Yeah, no, I understand, Ben. It's just that we we've sort of postponed all of the O1 work in the harmonization out of Frankfurt. So I don't, I mean, I'm concerned to describe it like it's there. I'm hoping it'll be there for Guilin, but there's, but, you know, certainly there's work for the A1 that's been accomplished. But I that's why I was asking if it's the vision for what this use case is supposed to be doing, or is it what the use case currently has available, because it seems to be associated with a release.
So
that is why I'm asking the question.
Yeah, that's a very good question. It's a little bit of both, actually. So they answered your question. So it does. So if you look down here, if it would stop. Okay, so if you click on the read the docs, and I can put it in the chat so everybody can follow along here. If you want to follow along, you can put it in the chat here and. To everyone. So this is the read the docs.
I think that's also my my question. I saw that some use cases and the functional requirements includes their overall roadmap, and some really focus on their current implementation. So it's not clear what was to be included in the read the docs.
Right. So let me.
They have different structure.
Hold on. One second. So if you click on the read the docs button here, it opens up per release. So the read the docs is release sensitive. So in other words, if you go to here, the Casablanca set of pages is potentially different than the Dublin set of pages. The latest quote unquote set of pages is intended to be the current kind of current page, if you will. That's kind of up to the use case team maybe to determine, but I would say some things will probably kind of be constant from release to release, right? And that's that sort of vision thing that Marge is talking about. So you probably, you know, the use case teams get to define and write whatever they want, I believe. So, you know, if you want a vision thing, I think, you know, you can do that. So I personally would say you probably should have sort of a higher level vision here, and then, note that it's already per release sensitive anyway. So you can also write in the latest, what you're writing in the latest is by default R6. And all these pages will eventually, there'll be, you know, a Frankfurt group of pages essentially. So,
So Ben, if we enter something in the latest tab, when you click on the El Alto tab, then you will not see it. Is that correct?
So that I think depends on, that's correct in the short answer, but I think it may inherit, like I think a lot of things kind of inherit the previous releases stuff. So
yes, I would expect latest would fold into Frankfurt and would fold into Guilin, but I shouldn't see it in El Alto is my point.
Right.
Okay.
Right.
I'm just trying to make sure I understand how this works, because.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you. Yeah, go ahead.
All right. So it's managed in Garrett, so it works like any other project. When you add the functionality, it's a from that point on, and then for each release, there is a branch created, and same for the docs. So docs are gathered together from this branch in each of the projects. And then whatever you put in Frankfurt, there Frankfurt on, not previous.
I think Borislav gave us an answer, but we couldn't quite make it out, I think. Or at least I couldn't quite understand everything. So I think Borislav, you said something like there's a ticket or something you open in the Garrett. I didn't quite understand. Could you repeat maybe?
Yeah, sorry for the network. But it's managed in Garrett. So you need to add a file in Garrett, and you need to have the permissions
to add
this file.
Add these files, okay.
Commit this file, Garrett. Uh-huh. So when you update something for a there for the release and on. And for each release, there is a branch created from master. So you put it
I see. And then okay.
There will be a branch from master for this release.
I see. Okay. So essentially, there's Garrett files you need to commit for release, and then there's a master branch, I think, spin off of. I think that's kind of what I heard.
Yeah, you usually put it in master, and then there is the spin off of the branch
For specific stuff. Okay. So before you joined, Marge, I had said I'd reached out to Sophia. Sophia did respond back to me saying, you know, well, here's kind of what we're doing in the docs page. And it still is very unclear what, you know, there's nothing here related to our use cases. And it's very platform component centric, the docs page, which, you know, most of this stuff is kind of platform component specific, so I can kind of see that, but we still need to figure out, I think, what ultimately how all this works. So that's what it boils down to. Okay. All right. So we do have, you know, again, I don't know that there's a sort of hard and fast deadline for the doc stuff. Kind of by the end of the release would be nice, I guess. So you have some time to work it. Okay. But you know, we should start thinking about that. Let me see. Whoops, what did I do? Oh, I put the main link in there. I just want to copy. So I think what Borislav said is that maybe docs here. There is a Garrett files Garrett view, the main branch, and is there a ticket or something we need to open?
No, I think we just need to update the file and create a Garrett view for the relevant file.
Uh-huh. Okay. Right. Have you done that before, Borislav?
I did some edits in the OOM project, which I'm a editor.
Okay.
Not on a use case.
Not on a use case. Okay. All right. I wonder, you know, Vimal, somebody must have done these because
this Garrett stuff is not intuitive though.
Understatement.
Well, I did it once before. Totally don't remember how to do it. I know how to review now in Garrett, but as far as making a contribution, I did put requirements into the VNF requirements maybe like a year and a half ago.
Yeah.
And I had incredible amount of really nice person handholding by Hugo. But if I hadn't had that, I could never have done it. And I tried to write everything down. And when I tried to do it again this year, because I thought maybe I should practice for potentially the harmonization use case, because I figured we'd need more requirements there. I couldn't get it to work. So either something changed or whatever. But I hope that either we have a better online tutorial for this, or or we only have to deliver the file and somebody else will do the Garrett heavy lifting. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know either. So this is, I also one time added the stuff into ENF requirements, and also Hadoop helped me as well. And it's a very complicated process. And if you know, I'm sure if you do it frequently, it'll maybe become second nature, but it was definitely not straightforward. And it wasn't easy for me to figure out how to do it. So, but maybe Hagoop has been very helpful. He might be able to also help us out too. And he's more responsive. Sophia's almost never responsive, but other people can try to reach out to her. Joanne and Marge and I will, I think, try to reach out for the runtime config DB at least. Okay. So I feel that's one of the main things happening into R4 that is relevant to us. Another one is Marge and Trevor and others have been involved with this spec update, which is happening. So there's a lot of activity in that in the past couple of weeks. Marge, you want to talk about that? Marge, are you there?
Yeah, I'm there. It's just I have trouble with my mute button. Well, I don't know if Oscar's on the call, but Oscar's been very involved too with this.
Process. Oh yeah, that's right. Yes, right. He's not on the call though.
Oh, okay. But anyway, we've been looking at reviewing the updates because the VES spec is now in the Read the Docs, which is the right place for it. I commend Trevor for doing that because the Word document you always ended up with like the wrong version. So there's been a lot of comments, and I believe Trevor's had a meeting, which I missed, unfortunately, where he went over some of the comments. But I think there are still some that need to be resolved. But the goal is then to get this spec published for Frankfurt. And then I believe the future updates to the document will follow the same sort of CR process that's being used for the VNF requirements. So we are going to have to get good at this Garrett stuff, I think, because,
right.
You know, Trevor made all the changes this time because there were a lot of them. Mm-hmm. But I think if... it moving forward, like Vimal, when we have a result for the 3GPP harmonization stuff,
right.
That will require a change, I think, in the VES spec and probably in the event listener document. And so we'll probably be asked to do some of that, I would think. Or at least people on our team implementing will have to do that. So it is a good thing because it's going to be clearer where all the changes are coming and who's proposing them. So I think it's good.
Yeah, I can also say a few words too. I was in one of the two issues meetings that Trevor held this week. So basically he was just going over individual comments and we're discussing each of the comments from people. So let's see. So basically you kind of went through this and then, you know, you basically found where people had made comments and we discussed a whole bunch of different things. Basically we talked about, there were some, I don't know if I can easily find them, but there were some like things in the header and there were places where the document mentioned things that weren't necessarily a VES sort of thing, more general things, and Oscar and Damien were a little concerned about that. There was also a point, again, obviously didn't necessarily find a specific thing in this, but there was another thing where there was a section where we were talking about kind of other VES events that are not very commonly used, like TCA, like threshold crossing analysis events and things, and there was some discussion about for the TCA, there was some wording about it's sort of not used or vendor proprietary and service provider specific, and people were like questioning, well, that is a VES event. We said, yeah, and then somebody else said, well, that is a VES event, it's true, but it's sort of a hardly ever used one. So anyway, that gives you a sort of a flavor of, you know, all these comments where there's still open issues were discussed, and Trevor was just kind of going through them one by one. We only got through probably 10, 15 comments at most. in the hour. And then Trevor held another meeting that I couldn't attend. I think it was yesterday, and the VNF requirements project. So anyway, so as Marge said, it is a something that's currently being reviewed. There's tons of comments, I think, that are still open and need to be discussed. And yeah, so, and it is in the Read the Docs. Let's see, I think it's here. So it's quite a thing to navigate to it, but there it is here. So just so people know, maybe I'll put it in the thing here for people. Just
pull this out. One question.
Yeah, sure.
The current VAS spec is not in the normative text format. Is there any consideration to change that?
It's not a normative. Can you say more?
It is not in the normative text format. Is there any consideration to change that?
Yeah, I don't know. That's a good question. I don't know if them all or Marge, do you have an opinion?
No.
That's a good question, Zoo. Let me see. So I'm not, maybe I'm not too familiar with what you mean.
By normative text, this means you have the shall, should, and may.
Oh, I see. Which
is,
I see.
Which you indicate which function is mandatory, which function is recommend, which is optional. If it's not in normative text, then everything becomes optional.
Yeah.
In standardization, I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Or you can consider everything is mandatory, then nothing is optional.
Hmm. That's a very good question. Maybe Marge, or you know, maybe we should take that up with Trevor.
I think we should. I know I made a couple of comments like that on the document, like what is mandatory and what is not.
And there were lots of things in the discussion this week about shouldn't we move this to VNF requirements. Damien made a number of suggestions.
Well, a lot of the things in there right now really do belong in the VNF requirements. I think I made the same comment and seconded his comment on a lot of things. Because if they're visible in the VES specification, that's okay. But really, they need to be visible at the VNF level so that when someone knows what they need to do in order to have an ONAP compliant VNF, right? And then when you drill down, then you can look at the specifics of VES when you get to that point. But some of the requirements really were, if they aren't in the VNF requirements, they should be. And if they are in the VNF requirements, then this document should be referencing them, because otherwise you have the potential of getting out of sync requirements, right?
Yes, absolutely, right. Yeah, so Zoo, there were a number of places where actually, probably a third of our discussions were, hey, should this be in the VNF requirements project?
But I would say, Zoo, you can get into this review.
Yeah.
It wouldn't be a bad thing at all for you to do that, and to, because some of us keep saying the same thing, I think. And I think if someone else also is making a similar comment, that could be good. But certainly Trevor wasn't trying to exclude anyone from this review. He just didn't know who to include.
Right.
You know, so I sent something to Oscar. I sent it to Oscar because I knew Oscar would care, and he was going to forward it to other colleagues in Ericsson. But you know, he may not have forwarded it to everyone.
Yeah.
You know, I sometimes don't remember to forward it to everyone I should forward to either. So I think if you know, your comment is a good one, and you know,
I agree.
You, instead of having to go play telephone with, you know, through us, it might be good if you got in and made the comment.
Yeah, I think I gave this comment to Oscar already. Maybe he present or not, I don't know, because I didn't closely follow this discussion. But at least from documentation point of view, I think it's good to keep the normative text level, because if it, right now it's part of this VNF requirement appendix. Appendix normally is considered as a part of the standard. If it's
That's
annex,
right.
it can be additional information, which can be reference information.
Right, it needs to say whether it's normative or informative.
Right.
Yeah.
Then in the VNF requirement document, they have clear definition what is the normative text. Then we need to follow the same rule to do that.
Yes.
But I also understand this is not a small work, because right now the VNF requirement, this VAS spec is not a small spec, it's quite large.
Yes.
So to change that is maybe need some time. Yeah, but at least we need to consider to start working on it.
Absolutely. Yeah. I agree, Sue. Okay, so somebody should probably take an action point, maybe to go to Trevor, Marge, or Zoo, or somebody to talk to make an action point on this.
Well, if the comment was already made through Oscar, it may be there. I can look.
And I can vouch that it is there in many places, because we spent a lot of time talking about those. There are definitely many comments throughout the document about, hey, shouldn't this be in the VNF requirements page? So I know that's there.
The comment, right? That's not exactly the comment. Oh. I mean, what I think what you're saying, Zoo, is that if there is a requirement in this document, that it needs to follow the basic requirement text where it's shall, and so if it's not required, may, words like that, where those words are not necessarily always used in sentences that appear to be requirements the VES spec. It is good with the fields. When they show the tables and they show the fields, they do definitely say what's mandatory and what's optional. I feel they should have added a conditionally mandatory, which they don't have. I know they can't parse on that, but still, it would have been good from helping the reader, but anyway, I think Zoo's comment is not so much that some of this stuff belongs in the VNF requirements, but it is requirements that remain here need to follow conventional
requirements language. Yeah.
Thank you.
Yeah, Ben, I think the normative text has a three keyword: it's shall, should, and may.
Okay, shall, should, may. Okay, thank you.
Yeah, should means recommend, and the may is optional, and the shall is the same as a must.
Okay, thanks. And also, I think also Zoo's point was that maybe they need an opening statement in the document as well, talking about just things related to requirements. For example, there are requirements in this document, or wherever you see these tables where it say things are required or not, those are may or should language, something like that. I think to Zoo's point, that's not, as far as I know, wasn't discussed, and I don't think anybody made that kind of comment. So. Okay, so somebody should reach out to Trevor to let them know. I can do that too, Marge. You want to do that, Marge? Or Zoo? Somebody should.
I'll do it.
Thank you. So I can't seem to find you anymore, which is disturbing. Anyway, so it's an item on you. Normally you can just put somebody's name and it'll I can't find you. Okay, anyway. All right, let's see. So last time we talked about the 5G service modeling use case, and we had two people from modeling on the call, and Chuyi is interested in and Joanne have both said they're interested in working with me on the 5G service modeling stuff. So we're kind of at a point where it's kind of ready to at least start moving forward in discussions in the modeling subcommittee. And I have presented the modeling subcommittee that I attend every week. So I think the next step is maybe to do a little bit more analysis of not specifically which parameters you want to introduce, but like the structure and objects that we might want to hit incorporate into the platform information model. So I think next week and the next modeling call next Monday, I'll see if I can move that forward a little bit. Things on the modeling team don't happen quickly yet. So it'll take some weeks to make progress, I think, on that. Let's see, let me just go over some of our topics here. And if there's anything related to M4 we want to discuss. So there's a lot of stuff in the harmonization stuff that probably are closed. Let's see. I think this is closed. Deleted. So there was some O1 enhancements that are moved to the Guilin release. That's still probably open. There was a 3GPP convergence meeting that was held in early February. Is there anything we need to, can I delete this, or is there anything left from this that we need to talk about? Orange or Vermont?
We have a meeting right after this meeting, hopefully, that's going to finalize some of this.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
I mean, we're working toward completion. I don't know how to guess how many more meetings we'll need.
Okay.
I'm guessing at least a couple more.
Yeah.
But we're making good progress.
If this is still open, I'll keep it open. Okay. The CM notify for the POC demo. This is something that we've talked with Sandeep about. That's fine. Integration, Dom Ho, do you have any news here?
I talked to Sandeep. So Sandeep said that it's fixed. So he said that now the testing is done for the A1 adapter. So it's, even though it's called the integration, but practically it's a unit test for the A1 adapter. Uh-huh. So he said that it's done. But the thing is, for now, he didn't do the automation. So we are now checking if automation is really needed for the release. So, but he's saying it might not be needed because it's only just one unit testing. But Bimal suggested to check with the Dan Timoney. So yeah, I will do that. Yeah.
Okay.
So Dan Hong, just a quick question. You say the Sandeep did a development in Frankfurt release between the device to the SDR or SDNC persona. So this has been tested completely in Frankfurt release. You just know how do you test it? I'm just asking, how can you test it?
Oh, yeah. He used the A1 mediator from the OSC. For his southbound. So currently there is no device, right, which is compliant to the A1 spec.
Mm-hmm.
So he needed to use some other software. For now, we believe the A1 mediator is the closest one, which is complying to the A1. So he used the A1 mediator for his testing. Yeah.
Okay, good. Okay, any other questions for Dong Ho? Okay, thanks. Just in some other news, for Plug and Play, the their work is proceeding on the SO building block and workflow stuff. And there was a presentation made by the Nokia development team, which you can listen to. Let me just link for everybody. Was last week. Link. Well, that's proceeding as far as I know. There was some plug and play stuff that I think was pushed out as well and recently marked. And let me just show that. I'm gonna mute Joy because she's something going on with her phone. Let's see. So click here. Okay. Let's see. So so this is the SO building block work, and that's underway. So this vid migration for these comments here, the associated changes related to the building block workflow stuff is going to get pushed out. there wasn't enough time to do that. And the BBS team, I think, was originally going to do some work as well for the response message. I believe that's also been pushed out as well. I haven't talked to the BBS team lately, but I think that's also been pushed out. I've been working the modeling work for the geolocation stuff. I've held a number of meetings with the modeling team. You can see here and listen to recordings. So we've been talking about, I can just show you real quick, I guess. We've been talking about the SDC AD model, the ANA schema things, and major modeling changes that would happen to introduce the place object and some of the geocation modeling work that would have to happen. So notably in the RFC 6225, it describes all of the details about latitude and longitude and altitude and stuff. And eventually, when we turn up a real live view in whatever release, that will be important. And I believe that it will probably also should be reported in the PNF registration event, probably. So that might be some impact eventually to plug and play, and that's why it's there on the plug and play page. And there's also a number of other standards in the TM forum, GB922. And in the MEF forum, there's a link here. And of course, you can just dig on the internet. It's called RFC 6225 that talks about all these geolocation stuff. And the modeling team had, before Kevin Skaggs retired, he had also started the ball rolling on this place object, which is directly out of, I think I've probably showed this group before, but directly out of the GB922 page requirements. But the problem, of course, is that there's already this structure in ONAP inherited from ECOMP for that's called this complex object. And think of complex like a building complex, not simple complex, which has latitude, longitude, elevation, all these other place information in it. So I went to the ANI team and they said, well, that's not going to be easy to sort of rip out if you want to do that. And the modeling team said, that's probably not what's going to happen. They're probably just going to associate pieces of it with this information model with stuff in the complex object. So anyway, that's some stuff that will happen probably in Guilin or beyond or in Honolulu. Okay. Software requirements. Zoo, did you want to say anything about the PNF software upgrade use case?
Before we go there, can I ask a question for the PNP procedure?
Yeah, sure.
What I understand is the current plug and play is based on the assumption that in the service template, which you distribute from SDC, only contains one PNF instance, right? Is there any plan to testing that, or
are you talking about these workflow things, or
no? I'm talking about the entire plug and play procedure.
Mm-hmm.
So the entire plug and play procedure is assuming there's only one PNF instance per service template. Is there any plan to extend that?
I think in the I opened up to some discussions many months ago with the resources that should be associated with the 5G service. And I think that's still kind of an open point. I would think that you'd want to be able to support more than one as well. So I think we need to maybe still discuss that. I can write that down as a point. Did I catch your point right? Or
this is situation we have today, right? Only one PNF instance per service instance.
You can't associate more than one PNF resource in a service? I thought you could do that.
You can do it in SDC. That's not a problem.
But not in the actual runtime, I see. Okay, that's what you're saying.
No, I'm just asking because right now your test case is assuming there's only one.
Mm.
So I'm just asking, is there any plan to test if there, in case there's a two PNF instance, how to do the installations? So what I understand that you guys didn't do the VID part yet, but that is okay. We still can use the CLI to do the installation.
Yeah.
But we need to understand if there's any limitation in SO workflow, or there any limitation in controller, or any limitation in PRH. Mm-hmm. So that's something we need to understand.
Sure. Okay. I'll take an action item to ask. Okay. Yep. Okay. Thanks. Okay. So we only have a minute left, or we're over time. Sorry. Anything you want to say quickly, Zhu, about the software upgrade?
Software upgrade went doing very well. I should manage to get all the Jira ticket update and merged by M4. So I don't see any big risk. I think the only risk I'm having is more like integration, but that can be done. I assuming that it can be done even after.
That's probably RC 0.1 to 2. Okay, great. Any closing thoughts from anybody? Otherwise, we're already over time. So, okay, let's close it here. Thank you, everybody. Thanks for attending. Okay, have a good day.
Thank you.